If you can open up your Bibles with me this evening to a couple places. First place is 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Once you find 2 Corinthians 4 in your Bible in the New Testament, go ahead and put your bookmark there or an offering envelope from the pew in front of you or just something to hold 2 Corinthians 4. We're going to spend a lot of time this evening there. That'll be our main text. So after you open it up to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, go ahead and open and flip a little bit further back in your Bible to John chapter 16. John 16. If you need a handout this morning, go ahead and raise your hand and our ushers will come to you. Actually, this evening. Hey, everything's running together. This has been Vacation Bible School week. I don't even know what day it is.
Hopefully it's Wednesday.
The title of this message tonight is this: Problem Solving 101, The Bible Way. A problem, what is a problem? A problem is something that needs to be solved. For example, you might think back to when you were in school. And back when you were in school, we were given math problems. Some of them were easy and could be solved with very little difficulty, such as this one on the screen. And it's 10 plus 10 equals... I guess that wasn't as easy as I thought. I thought I heard some of you say 100. No, that's 10 times 10. 10 plus 10 is 20. But other math problems were harder to solve, and we might not even know where to begin unless we were a math guru. But life is filled with many problems, both easy ones and difficult ones. Your car might break down, for instance. If that happens, how do you get to work? For some of you, that's an easy problem. Maybe you have another vehicle. Maybe you have family that live in town. Maybe you have a good friend that could help. Maybe you could ride the bus or ride a bike or even walk. But for others of you, it's a more difficult problem. Some problems might be easier to solve. Like what to do when a light bulb goes out. We do what? We? Okay. There's only one answer for that, so you can't mess up that one. We change the light bulb. There are many problems like that are easy to solve. However, there's problems in this life that are much more difficult. There might be a person at work that's hard to get along with. How do you solve that problem? You might be sick and down with the flu, and maybe you're taking some college classes in school and you fall way behind in your classwork. That's difficult to try to catch up. How do you solve that problem? You might have a child, and one day that child runs away from home. How do you solve that problem? Would you agree with me that there's some problems that are difficult problems? We might wish that we could live in a problem-free world where nothing ever goes wrong, kind of like this guy right behind me. Look at him, man. Problem 24/7, just lounging back on the hammock, taking a snooze. Not a problem in the world. But we know that we probably could enjoy that for a few minutes, but in the real world, that's not what we can expect. Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 16, verse 33, what we could expect in the real world. Look with me. It says, Jesus is speaking, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." But notice what he says here. He says, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." So based on that portion of that verse, what would best represent Jesus' statement? A, Jesus said this, "In the world you will have no problems, everything will go smoothly with no disappointments or difficulties." Or B, Jesus said, "In the world you're going to have problems." A or B?
B?
B. In your notes it says this, "Times have not changed much in this regard over the last 2,000 years. So every believer must handle problems the right way, the Bible way." The title of this message, once again, is Problem Solving 101, The Bible Way. You might say, "Pastor Rich, how do I do that? How do I handle problems that come my way, the Bible way?" I'm going to give you three biblical answers. Number one is by recognizing that problems exist. Recognizing that problems exist. Before someone can solve a problem, they've got to see that there's a problem. Before you can solve a problem, you've got to see the problem. Sometimes people with problems can't be helped because they can't see that they have a problem. The first thing that we have to realize is that there are very real problems that we all face. They might be at work, they might be at home, they might be with a friend, they might just be with yourself and your own body, loneliness, sickness, discouragement, sin that we deal with. Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Flip back over there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let's see what the Bible says for the believer that lives in today's age. The Bible says that we can accept problems and troubles and difficulties to be a part of our life. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 8. Paul writes this. He says, we are what? He says, we're troubled on every side. Now, Kathy has done a nice drawing for me right here. I brought in this balloon, and she drew a nice drawing on that, didn't she? That's a nice-looking face. And, you know, this balloon kind of represents us in this illustration. And sometimes Paul says that we're troubled on every side. And sometimes we're kind of like this balloon where the believer feels like they're getting squeezed with the problems and the pressures of everyday life. And sometimes, you ever heard the phrase, turning blue in your face? This is probably the extreme with all the pressures in life. And sometimes we feel that there's so many pressures and problems that are coming our way that they're squeezing the life out of us. And I'll hold on to that for later, okay? Because I might, you know, I don't want to cause any damage to that balloon for right now. I want you to look at this verse behind me. In this verse behind me from Psalms chapter 34, it says this, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Based on that verse, would you say that the believer should expect problems? Yes, we should expect problems. It says many. We should expect many. Look with me back in your Bible at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. Paul not only says that we are troubled on every side, but Paul also continues to say that we are perplexed. We are perplexed. What does perplexed mean? The word perplexed means to be at a loss, to seemingly have no way out. You know, with this stage set up for Vacation Bible School, it reminds me of Joseph. That's who we're featuring this week. And did Joseph have problems? Thrown into a pit, sold into slavery, brought to Egypt away from his family, thrown in the prison. Talk about being troubled. Talk about being perplexed. As Joseph sat in that prison, he seemingly must have been at a loss, thinking there's no way out of here. Perplexed. Number one, I want to summarize this first point with you. You can begin to handle problems that come your way, the Bible way, by number one, realizing that problems exist. In order to solve a problem, you've got to see the problem. And then number two, by realizing that help is needed. By realizing that help is needed. Did Joseph need help getting out of that prison? He did. Did Paul need help getting out of those troubling and perplexing situations? Yes, he did. Do we need help getting out of the mischief that we get into? Yes, we do. Hold your place here in 2 Corinthians. We'll be back in just a few minutes. And turn in the Old Testament to the book of Psalms, the Psalms, chapter number 40. Psalms chapter 40. And let's see what the psalmist says in Psalms 40. And look with me at verse number 17, Psalms 40, 17. The psalmist says, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. And look with me a little further at Psalms verse 70, verse number 5. We're going to look at four verses in the Psalms. And notice a pattern here as we look at these verses. Psalm 70, verse 5. The psalmist David writes in Psalm 70, verse 5, once again, but I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying. Turn to Psalm 86, verse 1. Psalm 86, verse 1. In this prayer of David, notice once again, as David prays to the Lord. He says, bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am what? Poor and needy. One more, Psalm 109, verse 22. The psalmist David writes, for I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. The psalmist cried out a common phrase in these four verses that we've looked at. And that common phrase is, I am poor and needy. I am poor and needy. We need to realize the same thing. We have many real problems, and in and of our human fleshly selves, we do not have the solution to these problems. We are poor, not monetarily, but we're poor as being afflicted, and we're needy, and we need help. Let me give you an illustration. Suppose that you got a phone call or a notice in your mailbox from the post office, and they told you that you had a package waiting for you or packages waiting for you at the post office. So you hop in your car, and you drive over to the post office, and when you arrive, you are surprised because all of a sudden you see these five large boxes that weigh 150 pounds each. It's much more than you can handle. The load is too large. You need help. That's the way it is with us. Our problems are too much to handle by ourselves. We need help. In your handout, it asks this question. Where do you go for help? Where should you go for help? When you were in school and you couldn't solve a math problem, what did you do? You went to someone that could help. You went to your teacher for help, or you went to one of your parents or a friend that was good in math who was able and willing to help you solve the problem. Who do we go to who is able and willing to help us solve life's greatest problems? While you're in the Psalms, look with me at Psalm 121. Psalm 121. In Psalm 121, verse number 1, the Bible says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my what? Help. But notice verse 2. The psalmist defines where his help's coming from. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. According to this verse, who is the one who is able to be your helper? The Lord. If he could, as this verse says, if he is able to make the heavens and the earth, do you think he has the ability and the power to help you and I, the poor and needy, solve the problems that we face today? Yes, he does. That's why if you flip back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that's why Paul wrote this. After Paul wrote, we are troubled on every side, the next three words he said were these, yet not distressed. Then he said, we are perplexed. But then notice what he wrote after that. He said, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. To find help, we must start with God and his word. On the PowerPoint screen behind me, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12, the children of Israel, they were facing a great problem, which they could not solve themselves. Sound familiar? They were being invaded by the enemy. Let me read this verse to you. It's on the screen behind me if you want to follow along. They said to the Lord, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither we know what to do. We don't know what to do. But notice the end of this verse. They said, but our eyes are upon thee. Our eyes are upon thee. Basically, what they said is, we have no power in and of ourselves alone, and we don't know what to do, God. But let me ask you this question. Did they look in the right direction for help? Yes, they did. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 8. Paul writes this. He says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia. Paul was not without problems. We just read, he said, "I'm troubled, we're troubled on every side." Now he gets more detailed on what his trouble was. He said, "I'm not going to have you be ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in who? But in God, which raiseth the dead." Which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. I love verse 10. Verse 10 shows us that the same God of the past that delivered us from our problems, delivered Paul from his problems in the past, is the same God that can deliver us and help us with our problems today, and can also help us with whatever we encounter in the future. Look at verse 10 one more time. It says, who delivered? The word delivered, is that past tense? Yes. Who delivered us, past tense, from so great a death, and doth deliver. That's present tense. He's still doing it today. He still can help us today. In whom we will trust that he will. Is will future tense? Yes. That he will yet deliver us. Aren't we thankful to have a God like that? He's able to help us in the past. We can have the hope and the trust that he can help us in the present, and the confidence that he can help us with whatever comes our way in the future. Amen? In your notes, it says this: why must you go to God and his word? Does God really know me? Does he really understand the things I face? Does God really care about what goes on in my life? He's the God that created the heaven and the earth. Remember the psalmist a little bit earlier? As he spoke to God, he said, "You thinketh upon me." Look with me at 2 Chronicles chapter number 1, verse number 3. Paul writes here, he said, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And notice this, he says, "the Father of mercies and the God of all" what? "Comfort." Well, why is he the God of all comfort? Verse 4 explains that to us. It says, "who comforted us in all of our tribulation, that we might be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." God comforts us when we have tribulation, when we have troubles, when we have problems. But God has a reason for that. He's not looking to just bail you out of whatever problem that you might facing. God has a reason. And the reason God wants to do that is to show you that he can use you to be a help to someone else, to comfort them when they're going through problems as well that come their way. We can be able to begin to handle problems that come our way, the Bible way, when we realize that, number one, that problems exist. Number two, by realizing that we need help, and that help comes from God and his word. And then lastly, number three, by personalizing the fact that God has solved the greatest problem of all. On your handout, it has this statement: man's greatest problem is sin. You're a smart crowd. I didn't have to give you that one. How can a sinful person appear before the presence of a holy God? How can a holy God save an unholy sinner? How can a holy God let an unholy sinner into a holy heaven? Those are great questions, and the Bible has the answer. God has solved the greatest problem of all. Your handout says this: he sent his beloved Son to be our substitute, to die in our place on the cross. After you write in substitute in 2 Corinthians, turn to chapter 5 and look with me at verse 21. The Bible says, "For he," that's speaking of God, "hath made him," that's speaking of Jesus, "for God hath made Jesus to be sin for us, who knew no sin, Jesus was sinless, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. On the screen behind me is a verse from 1 Peter, and Peter put it so eloquently for us. He said, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just, the sinless, for the unjust, for the sinful, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth," God demonstrated his love for us, "and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Christ died for the believer so the believer might live. He's a risen Savior who is able and who is willing to save anyone that will believe that he took your payment on the cross. The just for the unjust. Knowing that God has solved our greatest problem, we can be confident that he certainly can solve any of the lesser problems that we have as we go through life. Amen? Remember the very first verse that we looked at. It was John chapter 16, verse 33. And Jesus said this to his disciples. He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation." But then the rest of the verse we didn't read. This is how it ends. Jesus says, "But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." The Bible says that problems exist. Paul says we're troubled on every side. But when you have Jesus Christ in your life, isn't it great to know that you don't have to go through it alone? Like we said earlier, this balloon here represents us as believers. And Paul said that we're troubled on every side. We're kind of like this balloon that's being squeezed on every side. And if the outward pressures of life, if the problems that we face on a day-to-day basis are so strong, it will cause this balloon to do what? I'm not going to do it. Don't worry. I scared you, though, didn't I? Laura's up here going, "No!" The good news is this. It's in your handout. God is able to help by strengthening the inside of the believer so that the outward pressures do not crush him or cause him to implode. God is able to strengthen the inside of the believer. It doesn't matter what's going on the outside. I could be squeezed and troubled on this side and troubled on this side and perplexed and distressed. It doesn't matter what's going on the outside, as long as I know what's going on in the inside. And the Bible says that God is able to strengthen the inside of the believer. And I believe I've got a verse for you on the screen. And it's from Ephesians 3:16. Look what this says. It says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be what? Strengthened with might by his Spirit. Where? In the inner man. In your Bible, in 2 Corinthians, if you're still there, chapter number 4, let's look at verse 16. Paul writes this. I love Paul here. He's so real. He's so transparent about the problems that he faces. He says in verse 16, I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is what? Renewed day by day." But listen to what he says. He goes on to talk about his problems. But look at his perspective on problems. Verse 17, he says, "For our light affliction," he says, hey, it doesn't matter what's going on in the world. It's light. It's not a heavy burden. "For our light affliction, but is for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." And then verse 18 has his perspective. Paul says, "For we look not on the things which are seen." I'm not focused on the troubles that are going on around me, but I'm looking at the things which are not seen. I'm looking at Christ's Holy Spirit that's living inside of me and strengthening me as I go through the problems of life. I'm looking at the things which are not seen. "For the things which are seen are temporal." They're temporary. They're but for a moment. But the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. They're eternal. Speaking of the eternal, have you let God solve your biggest problem in life? Have you accepted God's forgiveness of your sins and let Him save you? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior and your only hope of heaven and received His gift of eternal life? The last statement says this, and it's probably the most important statement I'm going to give you tonight, and that is, God must be your Savior before He can be your problem solver. Bow your heads and close your eyes with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to You in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank You that we have a God who is a help, who is a deliverer in time of trouble. Lord, we thank You for Your word that can help and guide us as problems come our way. That way we might be able to solve them the Bible way. And Lord, we're so thankful for that. But most importantly, Lord, we thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, because it was because of Him that our greatest problem was solved, our problem of sin. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.